iGlobal Radio, the hub of podcasts for and about global Indians. From news and views to wellness, entertainment, money matters, and much, much more. On air at iGlobalNews.com.
iGlobalNews.com.
iGlobal Radio, brought to you by iGlobalNews.com.
Hello and welcome to the iWellness Show. My name's Tony Patty and joining me today is Jyoti Chadha. Now, Jyoti is the founder of My Wellness Company, which is a cyclical living mentor, that's what she is, a yoga and meditation teacher and holistic wellness practitioner. Now, she's here with us today to guide us through various aspects of what she does, back home to ourselves and also empower us and our journeys as we peel back the layers and reclaim truth and step into our very own power. Now, she does this by using a range of holistic wellness modalities, including menstrual cycle mentoring, yoga philosophy, moon wisdom, Ayurveda, pranayama, and also journaling as well. And Jyoti has many offerings, including one-to-one mentoring, as well as moon circles and much more. She joins us today. Jyoti Chadha, a very warm welcome to you. Thank you for joining us today right here on the iWellness Show on iGlobal Radio.
Hello, thank you so much for having me. It's lovely to be here.
Now, what an interesting introduction that we've had to you and your background. It must have been quite an amazing journey for you. Tell us a little bit about your background and what made you start your business, which is Jyoti Chadha, and your business is of course called My Wellness Company.
Yeah, so I studied psychology at university and then I became a primary school teacher, so I did that through Teach First, which was an incredible experience, very difficult. They put you in very deprived areas, so really tough, kind of. The background of the children was just heartbreaking. And then after teaching for a few years, I found myself really wishing away the week, and I was just counting down till Friday. Then on Sunday, feeling, you know, awful because I just didn't want to go back to work. And it wasn't because of the children at all. It's just, you know, the system, the education system, which is another conversation. But I think like many people, just dreading kind of that going to work and you're just counting down the days. And I just thought, this is no way to live my life. You know, I'm 25, 26, 27 now, but here I am like wishing away over half of my life. Like, what am I doing? So I really started to think about what it was that I actually wanted to do. Like, how did I want to live my life? And I wanted to have more control of my time. So, you know, if I wanted to wake up and go to the gym in the morning, I could, or if, you know, be my own boss effectively, which meant running my own business. Yeah. And I loved doing yoga. I'd been going to my local yoga studio. And I think without realizing it until I actually went to study yoga, I'd been doing yoga all my life because it's so ingrained in our Indian culture. So I decided to leave teaching and pursue yoga. So I left my job and then went to India to do my yoga teacher training, which was honestly the most incredible experience. I'd recommend anyone to go, even if you don't want to teach yoga, the kind of the spiritual experience that you have and the way it connects you back to yourself is so powerful. So that was just an incredible experience, really learning about the essence and the truth of yoga, not just yoga as it's seen in the West, which is a very physical practice. So learning all of the eight limbs, the philosophy, and obviously being in the birthplace of yoga. And I just love going to India anyway. It feels like my second home, you know. So I came back and then shortly after we went into lockdown. So I dramatically had to change kind of what I'd been expecting to do in my business. And everything had to go online, which has been an incredible journey, as you kind of said, kind of navigating, trying lots of different things, reaching people I guess I would have never reached otherwise. So, you know, it's been just as much of a blessing as it has difficult, as with all things
indeed
in life.
Jyoti, incredible as it may seem, your journey and going from one diverse aspect to another, two different parts of the world as well, while you were at it as well. Was this all about well-being and mental health for you and just having a better quality and standard of life?
Yeah, I think it was that for myself. And then, you know, the reason I went into teaching in the first place, primary school teaching, was to help people, well, children in that case. Like, I've always felt like my calling is to be of service, I suppose, and hold space for people, whether that be children or adults. And, you know, from a young age, I've always loved working with children. I've always done like volunteering and worked at kids' camps and things like that. So it seemed natural for me to kind of do primary school teaching. And now, you know, in my role as a yoga teacher, amongst other things, I do teach mindfulness and yoga to children as well as to adults. I think everyone can benefit. And actually, if we can reach children, then, you know, it stays with them for longer. But equally, there's so many adults that, of course, benefit from these things as well.
We are talking to Jyoti Chadha, who runs and is the founder of My Wellness Company. And one of the key aspects of what we're discussing here today is yoga and what appropriation it has on one's life. And Jyoti's going to be telling us more about that in just a moment.
The Great Big Indian Wellness Show, brought to you by iGlobal, the biggest ever wellness and health show for the British Indian community. Don't miss out. Register now at iGlobalNews.com.
So, Jyoti, you talked about your fantastic journey and also including children in that journey and helping them to understand well-being as well. As far as the cultural appropriation of yoga is concerned, would you mind giving us some more details surrounding that and giving us a better understanding of this, if you would?
Of course. So yoga comes from India. That is its birthplace. It's thousands of years old. And what's happened is over the years, as it's come to the West and it's been brought to the West, it's very much become about the asanas. So that's the physical practice. The thing that we see when we think of yoga, we think of someone on the mat practicing. Yeah. And actually, I'd say most of us in the West, when we think of yoga, we probably think of a white, middle class, skinny woman, you know, yummy mummy kind of lady in her Lululemon or her Sweaty Betty practicing yoga. But that was never the point, you know, like yoga's, you know, it comes from India. Like we don't think of someone who's Indian or of, or, you know, a person of color. Mm. And I just personally, that really frustrates me. And I know it frustrates a lot of other people. And I think perhaps, you know, us as Indians, we have a part to play. We need to, you know, I guess like shout a bit more about it. We've always been quite quiet, you know, the typical model minority kind of immigrant, you know, just get on with it. But actually, you know, we have this amazing practice that comes from our culture. So we should be celebrating it more. So as I said, yoga has eight limbs. There's eight parts of it. And asana is just one of those limbs. And the essence of yoga is to reach that state of samadhi or moksha or, you know, whatever you want to call it, liberation. And it's not that everyone that practices has to have that as their goal, but I think it's important to understand that it is a lifestyle. It's a whole way of life. So, you know, we have meditation as part of it, dharana and dhyana. We have pranayama, so breath work is a big part of it. And we have the yamas, the niyamas, which are the personal and social principles of thinking about how we live our life, you know, ahimsa, so non-violence, satya, truth, and so on. And a lot of these words, when I was learning them in India, I thought, oh yeah, I know that, like, which is what I meant by it's so ingrained into what so many of us already know, but we perhaps don't realize that it's also written in within yoga philosophy. And I just think it's so important that we almost reclaim yoga for what it was. And yes, asana's a big part of it and it does make you feel amazing. And if you do it regularly, of course, you know, you probably will lose weight. You probably will tone up because that is almost like an added side effect, like an added benefit. But that's, for me, not the goal. You know, I always say to my students, I'm an inflexible yoga teacher. Like, I can't do a handstand. When I do downward dog, my heels do not touch the ground. But that's okay because we all have to start from somewhere. Yes. And for me, as much as that's part of my yoga practice, so are all of the other things. So is journaling, so is mantra chanting, and all of, you know, these other holistic parts.
Talking of chanting and the holistic side of yoga, did you ever learn about what does namaste mean and what does om mean? And does that play any role at all as part of the yoga ritual, if you want to call it that?
Yeah, so we did learn about om, and we would do, you know, within kind of my training, we'd have mantra classes every day. And so om is comprised of three sounds. So it's the ah, the or, and the m, or m. So you kind of feel in your tummy area. Hmm. The or you'll feel in your throat, and then the m kind of on your lips, that vibration feeling. And it's the universal sound. So it has the same vibrational frequency as the universe. And it said that everything kind of is summed up in that one sound. And so many people, when they chant it, they realize the benefits. Because it does, it improves your concentration, it reduces stress, anxiety, it calms and soothes your nervous system. So even just listening to it is so powerful. And I think, again, a lot of people are almost afraid of doing these things, but once they do them and they realize instantly how it makes them feel, they do come back to it. And then with namaste, that's, it's not necessarily part of yoga as such. And I think that's something that's very much been appropriated, you know, kind of at the end of a class, they'll say namaste, like, you know, people don't pronounce it properly or even try to.
Yeah.
And it effectively means, you know, I bow to you. And it's part of a longer Sanskrit phrase, which I can't remember right now. But you know, again, it's a very sacred way of greeting someone, you know, kind of I'm bowing down to you, like the light in me sees the light in you, or my soul recognizes your soul. So I think if you're going to say it, that's fine. But you, again, you know, you need to understand the meaning behind the why, like, why are you doing it? What does it mean to you? And are you actually honoring that person as you're saying it? You know, because for me, I grew up saying namaste to kind of, you know, older people when I, as a way of saying hello, right? It's part of many Indian dialects and cultures.
We're talking to Jyoti Chadha, who runs My Wellness Company, and yoga is one of the aspects and subjects we are talking about today.
iGlobal brings you the Great Big Indian Wellness Show, the biggest and best wellness and health show for the British Indian community. From yoga and meditation to healthy eating masterclasses and much, much more. Register for free now at iglobalnews.com.
Jyoti, I'd like to ask you that you touched on this a little while ago when you explained it so very well, that you don't have to be particularly flexible when you are doing yoga. Would you mind going into a little bit more detail about that? And do you also need to lose weight before you can actually start practicing yoga?
No, not at all. Yoga is for everybody, like every single body type, skin color, flexibility. It's literally for anyone. And there's so many different variations. You know, you can do chair yoga if you're not able to sit on the floor and do some of those postures. And there's so many different modifications with all of the different asanas. And I think what a lot of people don't realize is the reason that the asanas are part of the philosophy is so that you could sit and meditate for a prolonged period of time. Because if you do asanas, so in the philosophy, in the Yoga Sutras, the philosophy book, all it says about the asanas is Sthira Sukham Asana, which means to have a still and steady posture. Because of course, if you're going to sit in meditation, you need to be strong and flexible to be able to sit down for a long time. You know, I struggle to sit on the floor for too long, and I'm sure most people do, even in a chair. So not at all do you need to already be flexible, be of a certain size or shape. I think as long as you're practicing with a good practitioner, good teacher, they should be able to give you the different modifications that you need. And then, you know, with that, you can develop your flexibility and your strength and those things. And, you know, there's so many different types of yoga, which I think is amazing. That is the more like powerful dynamic flows, but there's also the softer, more restorative, kind of gentler sessions.
And what about how many times a week should we be practicing yoga? And should we be doing it at any particular time of the day?
On an empty stomach is the best time to do it, really. Just, you know, for obvious reasons, you shouldn't be exercising or like moving your body in that way after you've eaten. You want your body to fully be able to digest its food. They would say, like, kind of, by they, I mean, I guess, like the yoga kind of rishis and in the books, it's kind of best to do it first thing in the morning.
Yeah.
Especially Surya Namaskar, the sun salutations, great to do them first thing in the morning to kind of, you know, wake up your body, stretch out all the muscles. However, with our lifestyles, you know, we've got to be realistic about when we can fit things in. So if you do it in the evening, that's also okay. Or depending on your body type, you know, in the middle of the day, I think as long as you're not doing it just after you've eaten, that's really important. And then, yeah, I guess it's just finding a time that suits you. You could do it every day if you wanted to. I think it's about listening to your body and, you know, deciding, does it feel good for me to do that today? So as women, for example, like when we are menstruating, it's best not to practice yoga or do any like really hardcore exercise, because our body is kind of releasing toxins naturally. We want to allow it to do that and to rest. But again, I think a lot of people feel that can be quite diminishing and saying, oh, well, women can't do the same things as men. But actually, whilst we can, and of course, if you feel like you want to, then go ahead. But it's important to understand like what's happening in our bodies and to listen to them.
We are talking to Jyoti Chadha, who runs My Wellness Company. We're talking about yoga today right here on iGlobal Radio. And part of the Our Wellness Show is to learn more about what Jyoti does and take something away from this conversation.
The Great Big Indian Wellness Show, brought to you by iGlobal, the biggest ever wellness and health show for the British Indian community. Don't miss out. Register now at iGlobalNews.com. iGlobalNews.com.
As far as yoga is concerned and wellness practices, which we've now established that everyone can do, whether you're particularly fit or not, what about moon cycles and the practices that are mentioned within and what we've talked about so far? What can you tell us about that? Because obviously moon cycles do play a role in our lives, but how do they do that? And how does it affect our yoga lifestyles?
Yeah, so the moon kind of goes from new to full back to new. So the cycle takes around 29 days. And actually on kind of the new and the full moon days, it's best not to practice yoga at all because they can be very high with the full moon and low with the new moon energy points. So within kind of, I guess, Indian culture or Hinduism specifically, it talks about like the days of light and the days of dark. So the 14 kind of days of light are from the new moon to the full moon as the moon grows bigger in the sky. And then from the full moon to the new moon are kind of the 14 or so days of darkness as the moon wanes in the sky. And I mean, our whole calendar is based on the moon, as are many religions. They, you know, a lot of festivals will happen on the full moon or the new moon. And that's why they're constantly changing every year. And when I made that connection, like my mind was blown. I was like, oh, that makes so much sense. I mean, there's many things we can do kind of around the new moon. It's a really nice time to go inwards. You know, we can't see the moon in the sky. The moon's behind the sun. So just to kind of go inwards, think about what it is we'd like to, I guess, call in for the next cycle and what perhaps we want to let go of, what we no longer want to take into the next cycle. And then at the full moon, you know, the moon is the biggest in the sky. She's really bright. So we can kind of take that time to celebrate and practice gratitude, which is something I think we don't do enough in our culture. Mm. We don't kind of celebrate ourselves and our achievements, so thinking about, you know, all the amazing things that have happened. And then we can also think about perhaps what's held us back and what we can let go of going into kind of the next 2 weeks before the new moon. So this is, I guess, how we can kind of learn to live a bit more cyclically with nature. And also I always say to people, you know, when they come to my moon circles, about how if you do check in with yourself at the new and full moon, then you're checking in with yourself 24 times a year. which is amazing because, again, we don't take time to just stop and think, okay, like, what's actually happening? Let me take stock. What's going well? What isn't? What do I want to edit out? What do I want to bring in? And all of those kinds of things. So it's really just a time to take for yourself to, yeah, to do that.
Very interesting.
Thank you for listening to iGlobal Radio, the hub of podcasts for and about global Indians. Find out more on iGlobalNews.com. iGlobalNews.com.
Jyoti Chadha, you are the founder of My Wellness Company. And for our discussion today, and if people want to find out more about what you do and also learn more about yoga, is there a website or a contact or a call to action that we can inform people of about our discussion today?
Yes. So my website is www.mywellnesscompany.co.uk, or you can reach me on Instagram, which is at My Wellness Company, and on Facebook, it's at mywellnesscompany.co.uk. So yeah, have a look at my offerings. Feel free to, you know, DM me, email me if you've got any questions or thoughts. Yeah, I'd love to hear from people.
iGlobal Radio, the hub of podcasts for and about global Indians. From news and views to wellness, entertainment, money matters, and much, much more. On air at iGlobalNews.com.